Welcome back, everybody. I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show. Great pleasure to be with you. We're going to bring on our next guest is Congressman Rob Bishop. He's a Republican of Utah. You may not have heard of him, but in fact, he's going to be the chairman of the Natural Resources Committee in the House. And that is a very big deal. He's got jurisdiction over energy and public lands and natural resources and all kinds of very important things, particularly in the battle against Obama regarding ANWR and regarding the Keystone Pipeline and so forth and so on, and federal drilling, fracking on federal lands. So let me introduce Congressman Rob Bishop, as I said, Republican of Utah, chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee. Mr. Bishop, thank you, sir, for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're an important guy, and I want people to hear your views on these issues. May I ask one thing, though, unrelated to your chairmanship? I just want to spend a minute on this. The business about the Department of Homeland Security and funding it. My take, sir, is that we should not close down the anti-terrorist department. There is too much risk and threat around the world to do that. What Republicans ought to do, sir, this is just my opinion, I want to hear yours in a second, is quit threatening to defund Homeland Security and just take a separate vote in the Senate and the House on the immigration provisions, which I think are illegal, that the president has undertaken. Just put a bill, get it through the House, get it through the Senate, and let him veto it. Fine. At least the GOP have put its best foot forward. But that will focus on immigration, not opening the door to terrorists.
No, I actually fully agree with you in that respect. To be honest, if we could control our environment up here, I think we could do marvelous things. But one of the things we don't have, and when I was a teacher, I could control the environment in my classroom. I knew where I was going. We can't control the environment here. So often we have to try and do the best job we have with the options that are open to us. Ultimately, no one is going to close down the Department of Homeland Security. And ultimately, we have to make some kind of statement about what Obama did in his executive order that he himself said was illegal. And so ultimately, that will happen. How we do it may be cumbersome in getting there, but that has to be the ultimate goal.
Right. I'm very grateful to hear you say that, because I'm very unhappy with some of my best pals in the Senate and the House, truly, who talk about defunding as though there's no penalty for that. There is a penalty for that. First of all, the public is against it. Second of all, terrorism is a threat. I want to close down Homeland Security. But let me ask you, sir, one follow-up. Can or are people crafting legislation in the House and or the Senate that would simply focus on Obama's overstepping and overreaching and mistakes on immigration reform? Can't we just codify that, make a bill, get it through both houses, and then put it on his desk? Let him veto it. Seems to me that's the, you know, and then it carries over into 2016 and so forth. Why can't we just do that?
Yes, people are working on that approach. Yes, it is possible. With the Senate still being non-filibuster-proof, that's one of the hurdles that has to climb to get to that point. And that's why working through the court system is also going to be something we are watching very carefully, because we think that can be an ally in changing the environment so that we can actually move in that direction.
Right. Well, this Texas judge decision, which creates an injunction, may be ultimately the best solution. I mean, that may be the best way to get around this thing, because Obama can't move.
Yeah, but it may also just simply open opportunities to us that we don't have today. And actually, your premise is something that I truly believe in. We are living in a much more dangerous world than we ever had during the Cold War. And to meet that threat, that environment, we've got to use our diplomatic means, our military means, but also our energy opportunities. The United States is today has surpassed Russia and Saudi Arabia in producing energy, but that's all been done on private lands and state lands. If we really are going to take the role so we can be a benefit to our allies and we can play a role with Putin and in the Middle East and everywhere else, and not be bullied by OPEC, we have to develop the resources on our federal lands and offshore. And that's the bailiwick that I have. That's why I don't think my committee is often viewed, as a Western committee. I think our impact now is nationwide and actually in foreign affairs. We also have a piece of the border security issue on the southern border because most of that is federal land. So I'm looking forward to our committee trying to come up with some creative ideas to actually get this entire sphere.
Right, you're right. You're a National Security Committee now. That's what you are. And this whole
tend to be, but we are.
I know. I mean, it's really, and you can make a lot out of that. I think it's great. Let's talk about that. I thought, sir, that putting the Keystone Pipeline as a separate, standalone legislation on Obama's desk was a mistake. I felt that, even though he might veto a larger bill, that the Keystone bill should have included an opening of federal lands to oil and gas drilling and fracking, number one. And number two, an end to all the limits and restrictions on the export of oil and natural gas. In other words, I would have said Keystone, federal lands, export limits. Now, Obama might veto that, but that would have been a more comprehensive message and, you know, opened the door to future action.
Yes, structurally, we would have a problem with Germanus rules on tying the pipeline with federal lands because there is no nexus. But when you're talking about the exporting, that could have been a nexus because you're right on that. Our ability to increase our exports of energy is the key to us being a key player in the future and assisting our allies. And it will also have a factor, maybe counterintuitive, but if we can export energy, we actually help drive the cost down of our energy here in the United States. It's one of the reasons why OPEC right now is not cutting back on production. They're using that as a way to try and bully us into cutting back our production.
Because our guy, right, because our guys, now this is a great point. Thank you for that. Harold Hamm, the North Dakota fracker, Continental Resources, was on CNBC yesterday and said basically what you just said. He said, we need to remove all the export limits so we can produce more and sell it overseas. So that helps the production of our guys, which keeps costs down. You're so right on this. And, you know, it puts a thumb in Vladimir Putin's eye because it takes away, takes his boot off of the neck of Europe regarding energy. So there you have it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of my frustration with this administration, which has not done anything to try and increase our development on federal lands. In fact, everything they've done is to retard it. They say they've opened up lease opportunities, but every one of those leases that are offered, if they ultimately stay, are unattractive to business and guaranteed to have litigation to drag it out for years.
Hmm. Very interesting. Very interesting. What do you do next? What do you do next on this? And let me add to it, Chairman Bishop. What do you do next on ANWR? We've got Keystone. What about ANWR? I thought we had settled an issue. We can drill up in Alaska. I thought that was done with the Alaska Wildlife Authorization Act back in 1979 or whenever the heck that thing was. Now Obama's putting that out of play. How can he get away with that, and what can you do about it?
Well, I think it is, once again, a violation at least of the deal that was made back in the pre-Carter administration.
Right.
On what should be there. ANWR was set aside for production, but there are still ways in which the anti-production element of Congress can hold that up, and they have been so far. So we still need to make sure that we pass positive legislation that can open that up. And then I understand why people like Senator Murkowski are upset with this administration and what they've done to Alaska. It is unfair. It is harmful. They didn't actually ask anyone in Alaska before they started bullying them around. It also goes back to a less-known law that's called the Antiquities Act, which is an act I hate with a passion. It was a legislative function given to the executive branch in 1906. Mm. It's intellectual hypocrisy to do it. But what it does is allow the president to make these kinds of decisions without any input from anyone else.
1906?
That's one of my goals, yeah.
Wow,
I didn't know. Teddy Roosevelt.
You know, I was there. I knew Teddy Roosevelt. But I didn't know about this Antiquities Act of 19. So what, that gives him executive authority? That gives the president executive authority to stop these, to stop drilling and so forth?
It allows him to create monuments. Mm. Out of federal land,
Simply
by making a stroke of the pen.
Oh.
And people have historically taken it out of context. So even though it was given for Roosevelt so he could do things in the territories that were there at the time, it is still in the books. Most presidents were very circumspect. Ronald Reagan never used it.
Right.
Jimmy Carter was the first one who used it as a political tool. Clinton used it like 20 times as he was walking out the door once again for politics. And this president is using it as a political weapon. I mean, it's called the Antiquities Act for a reason. It was supposed to guarantee save an antiquity. And there were three criteria you had to meet before you could use it. This administration doesn't worry about the criteria. They don't worry about whether it's an antiquity or not. They're just using it to make a political statement, and that's why it's a wrong law.
Right.
It needs to be changed.
Left-wing and viral. All right, so let me get this right. We're going to take a quick break and come back, but let me get this right. President Obama, in his State of the Union speech and on the campaign trail, is taking credit for the low oil price and the low gasoline price and the stepped-up production from fracking. And yet, out of the other side of his mouth, he is stopping ANWR, he is stopping Keystone, he's done nothing to help exports, and he's not opening up federal lands. What's wrong with that picture, Chairman Bishop?
Unfortunately, that's an accurate picture. But the increases have come from private property and state lands where the president does not have that kind of unilateral authority. If we're going to move forward, we've got to change his attitude towards federal land. That's where our committee comes in.
You got to call him out on that. That's great. Now, stay with me, please, Congressman. I've got much more to do. We're talking to Congressman Rob Bishop, Republican of Utah. He is the chairman of the very important House Natural Resources Committee. When we come back, I want to ask this question I have for about 30 years. Why not sell off some of our federal land assets? I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show. We'll be right back.
Where money meets politics. It's the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're here talking with Congressman Rob Bishop of Utah. He's the new chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee, actually an extremely important committee. Chairman, I want to ask you a couple things. Let me start with federal lands. You want to open them up to drilling and fracking. I think you're exactly right. We need that. Obama, of course, will oppose that. What about outright sales of federal lands? You know, we used to call them asset sales. I was associate budget director under Ronald Reagan. We used to look at this all the time. United States government owns, what, millions of acres of land across the country. And a lot of that land would be better off, in my opinion, in private commercial hands, would benefit the economy, would be more efficient use of our natural resources, would lower the budget deficit, we could retire the debt, we could help finance an investment in tax cuts, things of that sort. Why not launch this whole new a new version of an old story, and that is sell off federal land assets?
Well, okay, first of all, the premise is good. The federal government actually owns one-third of all the land in America, which is an amazing concept that was never intended to be that way, which also means that you can increase energy production and have conservation. It's not an either-or proposition because there's a whole bunch of land out there to do both. Everyone should be happy with it. Your assumption as to why we have that amount of land is very accurate. I think everyone realizes the environment we don't have total control over, so actually selling some of those lands off, even though there is law and there are policies that can do that, drives everyone crazy. And I have a lot of my good friends in the East that think all public land is good. They would go crazy. So there's an intermediary step that I think is significant. I hope people make a difference between federal land and public land. Federal land is the land that's controlled from here in Washington, and that's what's about one-third. And so, for instance, in my state of Utah, we've always been a public land state. I don't mind that, as long as Utahns get to make the decision of what we're doing with Utah land. That's the step I want to go through first, because we can prove that states, local government, and tribes are better stewards of the land than the agencies here in Washington, because they live there, they understand it, they can make decisions quickly about it. Nobody in Washington has the competence or the manpower to do that.
Will you propose legislation?
So there's an intermediary step that I'm trying to push.
Well, will you propose legislation? Will you put this is a great issue. This is a very big issue. I mean, you just said it. Federal government owns one-third of all the land in the United States. That's like, huh? And why don't we put that land to better use for business, for commerce? And you want the states to do it? Fine. 10th Amendment, I'm okay with that. Will you codify that? Will you put legislation on the table?
That is the goal I have right now. And what I'm trying to do is trying to strike a balance. Like, we've been criticized for not doing wilderness, which is not accurate. And I'm not afraid of actually creating wilderness or conservation areas as long as it helps me to buy outdoor recreation and economic development. Mm. And I'm trying to cobble both of those or all three of those elements together into every bill that we deal with. I'm pushing legislation in my state right now, which is the sole goal is to make sure that we increase those opportunities and increase the ability of the state to take over some of this land and control it because they do a much better job. So, yeah, that's the goal I'll have, not just with a piece of legislation, but with every piece of legislation that comes through my committee.
What else here? What can you do to counter the excesses of the Endangered Species Act? All right, I'm so tired of the EPA and other federal agencies, you know, with these crazy, one-toe, hairy, red woodpecker stuff. If you find a little worm on your land, you can't develop it into anything, not just oil, but fracking, but anything. The Endangered Species Act has gone to extremes we never dreamed possible. Can you roll that back? Is that under your committee's jurisdiction?
Yes, it is, and we will have an effort to that. My predecessor started a working group, came up with four recommendations. We are using that as a base, and I'm going to build upon that. Problem with the Endangered Species Act is you can't go in there and just cut the funding because it has a power to it that happens without funding, with or without funding. What is helping us is in the past, people have always thought, oh, the Endangered Species Act is something that helps all those critters that are out there in the West. It's a Western problem. Now it is affecting everybody. Everyone who lives in the South and East up into Canada is in a potential area for a long-eared bat, I think is it, that if indeed that is considered as a listed species under the Endangered Act, will shut down the economic development of the entire East.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't actually believe in Schadenfreude, but for the first time, people in the East are actually going to see what happens when you try and shut down. For my state, it's the sage grouse, which if the state can control it, they have a wonderful plan that can actually provide habitat. What Fish and Wildlife and BLM are trying to do is something that is just totally irrational that would shut down all types of development in my state.
Perfect hook for me. Bureau of Land Management. And let me expand that into the Interior Department. I have 50 seconds left, Chairman Bishop. Can you, should you, cut back on the size and scope and cost of the entire Interior Department, including the Bureau of Land Management?
Yes. And the BLM... of all that land, the one-third of America, BLM owns 44% of it.
Wow.
So most people, when they think of federal lands, they think of a nice national park. That's only 13% of the land.
Wow.
BLM owns it all.
Wow. I tell you, these old departments, they're like mimeograph machines. They're out of style. The rest of the country is using iPads and iPhones. Chairman Rob Bishop, Chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee. A lot of reform to do on his agenda. We thank you, sir, very much. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're going to do some stock market and economic work up next.